Welcome to the Relative Paths podcast, a podcast about web development, web design, and things of that nature. I'm Mark Phoenix.
And I'm Ben Hutchings.
And if we sound a bit low energy, it's because we are both sat on comfy sofas and I'm cradling a cup of chamomile tea in my hand.
With your scarf on.
I've got my scarf
really,
on.
Really, it's not that cold in here.
No.
It is quite chilly.
And I think I'm a head massage away from falling asleep. But so this is our first podcast of 2017. And we're going to use it to talk about 2016. Because as always, web development is the gift that keeps on giving. So there's always lots of things for us to do and see and talk about. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the things that we did, sort of our year in tech, so to speak, and sort of review some of the things that maybe you, our dear listener, should be interested in. So we're going to talk a bit about some of the technologies and things that we embraced this year.
Yeah.
Shall I go first?
Go on then.
I'm already talking. So the major thing that I think I really kind of got to grips with was Flexbox, because I'd been sort of tinkering around with it toward the early part of the year. I'm just seeing Ben's drinking a cup of tea and he's doing his best not to give you, the listener, any mouth noise.
Yeah.
So he is craning his neck around to a quite a dangerous angle so he doesn't swallow in front of the microphone. So if you hear a snap, he did it for you, listeners, so you didn't have to listen to him swallow. But anyway, so it's Flexbox. Because I, at the beginning of the year, I think I was building and being aware of supporting browsers which weren't fully Flexbox compliant, or, you know, making sure you had polyfills. But I went full Flexbox this year. So I'm kind of flying by the seat of my Flexbox pants. So it's just Flexbox and nothing
pants.
Else. Yeah, Flex pants. We're just going to run out and register that domain name right now. And we're definitely not going to search on that in Google. So yeah, and we did a job together.
Yeah.
A Flexbox job, because I think, and where are you with it at the moment? Are you still kind of...
Yeah, I've sort of started to use it just for... I'm trying to avoid using it for full site layouts.
Yeah.
Because it'd be easy to, and it would be easy to sort of say, well, grid layout isn't ready.
Yeah.
You know, we should be probably learning it and using it a bit.
I think...
But it doesn't even polyfill very well, does it?
I don't think... Grids, yeah, I don't think it's quite ready yet because it doesn't have enough browser support. So I think if you used it, it would more be for your own kind of test projects and stuff. So,
but stuff that I'm building now, I'm trying not to build, but I'm using Flexbox within certain elements, certain components, and I love it.
Yeah,
like I'm using it quite a lot, and this might be breaking some kind of rule. Tell me if it is, but I'm using it quite a lot for menu layout.
Yes, no, yeah.
I find the way that, you know, you want to, especially when you're building WordPress menus and you want to play with the mobile menu views, it just makes it quite easy.
Changing from row to column
is
really easy.
Exactly. And that's something you want to do on a lot of responsive layouts, don't you? You've got a horizontal menu and then you want it to be a vertical menu.
Yeah.
And Flexbox is beautiful for that.
I reckon.
Beautiful.
It is. It's like a very well trained English butler. It's like, would you like these in a row?
Yeah.
Like, there you go. Have them in a row. You like this in a column? Here you go.
Yeah, sir. The only thing I keep doing, though, is I still haven't got my head around some of the layout features. Like, I'll try align self. I'm like, oh, no, it's not align self.
Yes.
It's align items or, you know, something like that. I can't remember now what the... But I haven't got to the point where I know exactly how it works.
Me too.
Cause I keep having to try things.
Because I still often find myself putting in align items or align content. So, I mean, there's a couple of good guides that I think we might... Have we spoken about Flexbox much in previous episodes? I don't think we've done one.
Not specifically on it, but...
But we're trying to remember to put a guide. Chris Coyer on CSS Tricks has got a very good guide for it.
That's got loads of visual examples, which is what I needed. It's like, I mean, when you look at table layout now, it's child's play. But table layout used to really confuse people. And in the same way, it's really useful to see all the different types of aligning. With Flexbox, you definitely need to know whether you're aligning or you're justifying.
That's it, yeah.
Because it all depends on row or column.
It does, yeah. So it's quite simple. If you have a moment of it clicking.
Yeah.
I think when I was learning it, it seemed a bit weird and then it clicked. And I wonder if that's because we've been used to using very strange methods of... laying things out, like what we did with floats and clearing. I think if we had Fluxbox now and then floats came along and you had to learn floats, you'd think this is a bit weird.
Yes.
Why am I doing it this way? But because it's come the other way around, I think Fluxbox seems like it is like the proper way. I've been using it, again, maybe pushing it to do things it's not really intended to do, but I have been using it for main site layouts, because one of the things that you can do really easily with it is have a sticky footer.
Oh, yeah.
Because to have a footer, you know, stay on the bottom of your page when there isn't enough content can be a little bit of a fiddle.
Yeah.
But if you align things in a column and set it space between,
yeah,
then you're, you know, if you have your header and your footer and your main content in three different wrappers, it will just does it. And
well, that stuff you did for me was a good example where we had to force a footer down to the bottom of, yes, a little container, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it would have been a right pain. It probably would have been a JS jobby otherwise.
Yeah.
But which I never like using JS for layout, shows how old school I am, because some people are building entire layouts in.
Which we might get onto a bit later on, possibly. Mm. But anyway, that's Flexbox. So we'll put a couple of links in the show notes. And if you haven't tried it, we really recommend it, because a lot of the things that are very difficult, or that have always been difficult in layout, are made much easier with Flexbox. And whilst Grid isn't quite ready, I have been using it to do a few of the things, as I mentioned, that Grid is going to do.
Mm.
And I don't feel too bad about that, because I think what we use floats for was never intended, and maybe what we use, yeah, positioning for, we push it beyond what it's intended for, just to make things work.
I've just been encouraged by the rapid release cycle of browsers and how quickly Flexbox went from, hey, try this, to, yeah, you can use it pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the cases, you can use it, you can use it happily throughout, because the browsers that don't support it, you're not really supporting anyway.
Yeah.
I know when we say things like that, or I say things like that, that upsets some people who, from an accessibility point of view, still build for very low browsers.
We've got an episode coming up, actually, with someone, hopefully, we're still in the negotiating sort of process, talking about progressive enhancement and sort of the kind of approach to it.
Mm.
So watch this space, actually. But yeah, we will talk about the fact that there is a little, as with so many things in web development and in life, people's opinions can kind of get a bit amplified and stuff.
Yeah. But
anyway, so that's Flexbox.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing which I've been getting into a bit more this year is HTTPS. TLS, that's right, isn't it? I keep saying SSL. Go and say SSL. There's not SSL anymore, it's TLS.
Yeah.
Because I did hear somebody else on another podcast say SSL the whole way through, and I was like, it's not.
Yeah, a lot of sites are still doing it, and a lot of providers are still just calling it SSL, because it's like Hoover, you know.
Yes.
It's just become a thing.
Yeah.
But I found it hard to know how to put it, so I end up saying to clients now, secure site or not, pages, or serving them secure. Because saying TLS, most people have heard, a lot of people have heard of SSL, but they haven't heard of TLS. And saying
they might think you're referring to
HTTPS is too much of a mouthful.
It is too much. That's an acronym, like
one acronym too many. One letter too many. Yeah.
They might think you're referring to defunct British boy bands, because there's JLS, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They might think you're referring to them. What's going on? Where's my boy band? You told me I was going to have a boy band on my website. But anyway, so I've been embracing that, and I switched hosting provider to one that provided Let's Encrypt, because it makes makes it so easy. I mean, it's
what a revelation that was.
Yeah,
is
in a way. I don't know if it's too easy, because you just click a button and it's done. And I think sometimes if we're particularly on the kind of sites where security matters, I think you have to give it a bit more thought than clicking a button and just having it and just doing it. And also when we are browsing, even sort of, you know, so fairly web savvy, it's good to remember that even though a site has been delivered over HTTPS, it may not necessarily be the site that you think it is, because it's easy for us to use Let's Encrypt on the site.
Yeah.
So it's easy for anybody to use it. So people can be, you know, doing all, so word of caution. But anyway, so I've been doing that. And also the hosting provider I use provides service pages over HTTP2. So been doing that as well, which has been quite a nice little speed boost. It's noticeable, I think. So have you been doing more with that as well?
Yeah, the two current projects that I've got on, I'm trying to build them for HTTP2. and I'm still trying to work out. I'm not finding a great deal out there about best practices. I think it's still being, people are still discovering the way of breaking things up. I mean, we know we haven't got to worry so much about, you know, not trying to cram every single asset into a sprite or and concatenate every single script into one big fat. But then you've also got a question of loading, you know, partials just as parts of page content and parts that are loading quickest and just how to break things up and just how granular to get.
Yeah.
And with, well, I've got one flat site build and one WordPress build, and the flat site I'm finding much easier to just decide what and what not to spit out where with a grunt script. But with the WordPress one, I'm so used to working in a certain way, trying to reduce the number of assets being pulled in, that to go the other way seems a bit strange.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what the advantage is over breaking things up compared to caching, because if you have all your CSS, if you don't have like loads of CSS or loads of JavaScript on your site, putting it into one file and having it cached does have an advantage. Mm. But if somebody's getting different files on each page, I'm not sure sort of where the line is drawn. I did hear somebody on another podcast say it's a bit like finding low-fat ice cream and thinking, great, I can now eat 10 times as much ice cream.
Yeah.
So because, you know, you can, it duplexing, isn't it? Because you can kind of have multiple HTTP requests going at the same time.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily want to think, great, as many HTTP requests as we can think of, you know, we should put them in. So, interesting to see.
Yeah. I think it's still important to, for example, compress your items. It's still data that's being transferred.
Yeah.
It's just that you might be able to send part of it that's necessary quicker than before.
Yeah.
And to think about breaking assets up into sections of your sites.
Yeah.
And pages almost per page.
Yeah.
I did see one person who was suggesting, and they had built some scripts with Webpack, I think it was, that breaks down style sheets and scripts into pages.
Yeah.
And each page loads its own set of scripts just for itself.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's a bit of a caching weirdness with that, though, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how I break up my CSS. And one of the things I've been doing is having like a universal page, universal CSS file that loads on every page, and then having a page-specific one. Generally, sometimes I might have a third one. Like if you've got a blog, you might have styles that are only loading in the blog, but nowhere else on the site.
Mm. Yeah.
But then within the blog, you might have styles that are loading on your blog and also elsewhere as well. So I think three is usually the maximum I've been going up to, whereas before I would only be using one.
Mm.
And I think I've noticed a little bit of a speed improvement, but then it's difficult to tell. But I guess as we go on and more people try different things out, I think somebody on another podcast was suggesting that it could be the case that you kind of have almost like you're building your site and you have a module and then you have a separate CSS file for each module. So if you look at the page, you'll have your header and then your header.css and then your body and then your body.css and footer and footer.css and then within your, you know, something along those lines. So be interesting to see. So that's that. Responsive images I've been using quite extensively. I don't hear a lot of talk about them, but I think they're pretty great.
What, source, set, and sizes?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, are you using sort of that on most of your builds as well? Or how does it work in WordPress?
WordPress from 4.something.something supported responsive images, which had been a third-party plugin, and they kind of brought it into core, and it works really well, and they rolled out a bunch of new functions for getting the sizes attribute and the source set attribute for a given asset, media item.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it does, considering it's effectively got to provide these images a whole bunch of different sizes and things for any theme, it does a really good job.
Right.
A couple of times I found I've wanted to myself manually pull out one thumbnail or one asset, one piece of media in a certain size, and then I've had a bit of trouble creating the source set and sizes attributes for it.
Mm.
But generally it works really well.
Okay, yeah.
So actually my hands-on work hasn't been that much, because it kind of does it for you.
Okay.
But I had to, for one particular site, I had to kind of get into the bones and write a bit of custom functionality for building my own source set attributes.
Yeah. Did you notice much of a speed boost when you've been using it? Or?
Actually, I've not looked back. That's a good point. There's one site that has loads of really large cookery images.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supported by the public, and they upload stuff straight from their phones,
right,
or digital cameras. So we've always been using things like Imsanity to cap the amount of, the size that images can be.
Yeah.
But I've not checked their stats lately. Could be interesting to see if it's made a difference.
Might be worth it. Yeah. Because I've certainly noticed it. I did a photography site and I wanted to put as high quality images on there as I could, so fairly big images. And loading it on a mobile, like testing it on a 3G connection, is a bit kind of, you know, you have to make yourself a cup of tea, wait for it all to load. But it certainly made a big difference to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I've been using that sort of an awful lot more.
Mm,
another thing I've used with Perch, it's quite easy. It's quite easy to build it in a template. If I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes about how you do that in Perch. Other things that I have been getting more into this year is WordPress. I wandered away, but I have been drawn inexorably back. I've been working on a WordPress project today, actually.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's...
Or not.
Well...
Irritating for you, because you don't like working with WordPress, do you?
I don't love it, but then I don't know if that's the nature of the work that I've been doing. It's not been so much custom builds. It's been helping out with client-built sites built through WYSIWYG editors that need some customization, and that's always a bit, you're having to hack through like all the undergrowth of super specific selectors, which is kind of quite slow work, just because of the way that WYSIWYG editors work. You get these ridiculous selectors. And so if you're trying to override a selector, which is kind of, you know, a tag with, you know, one ID, then a class name, then a tag and another ID, and it just...
Yeah.
It's quite an effort trying to override that. So...
I worry that sometimes you're basing your view on... Like, I remember... Did we talk about that?
We talked about...
And it was a nasty theme.
Yeah.
That was its styling was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
So you were having to override stuff that really, I don't know if you ended up having to use important, but you know, like to actually force override things. Yeah. But that's a pretty good indication that the underlying styling is not laid out very well.
Yeah. But that's why I want to reserve judgment, actually, because that might not be a fair representation of what custom built WordPress sites are like.
Mm.
I just find Perch a bit more. It chimes with my natural way of doing things. It doesn't sort of get in the way of my natural process of development. So when I'm building a flat site, and then comparing it to building a Perch site, I find I don't have to change my vector too much.
Right.
So that's why I like it. But I've just been building a child theme today. So again, it's not properly custom work, but it's getting more there. But I don't know if I would choose, if I was building a site from scratch today, I wouldn't choose to build it in WordPress. I choose to build it in Perch. So I'm kind of almost looking forward to the opportunity to, you know, if I have a client that definitely wants a custom built site and definitely wants it built in WordPress, I think I'd look forward to it. And then I'd be phoning you at 1:30 in the morning. How do we do this?
Thanks.
So those are things that we've got into. We're going to talk about some of the things that, actually, I'm not sure if this qualifies as a thing that I've got into, because I was using it already, but I've kind of fallen back in love is way too inflated a term. I've fallen back in like with Windows 10 because Windows 8.1, I think we spoke about this on a previous podcast, so we won't labor it too much, but Windows 8.1 was blah, but Windows 10 is quite nice. So
okay,
this goes into, I think we're going to talk about things that we rejected this year, things we tried and were going to try and said no to.
Okay, yeah.
So that segues nicely into the fact that I was all ready to go Apple and all ready to go Mac OS. Ready to do it. And then events evented. The new MacBook Pros came out And I don't want to jump on the kind of the...
Well, we did enough in the other episode.
We did a bit. I don't want to sort of... I think we can make too much about platform loyalty. Because, yeah, I just kind of think we can make too much about it. But, I think you just like what you like, really. Mm. And I didn't see the reason to switch platforms. Mm. So I was all ready to buy my MacBook Pro, and I haven't. So today I ordered myself an HP Spectre X360.
Great.
Ordered it about an hour and a half ago. So it should be with me within 48 hours, but it's a nice looking thing. It's one of those convertibles, so you can use it as a laptop, but the screen flips all the way around.
Yeah.
And you can turn it around and use it as a tablet.
It folds back on itself?
It does,
yeah. I saw that the other day.
Yeah.
It's nice. And what made you decide that and not the XPS 15 or?
I think with the XPS 15, it's a bit more versatile.
Right.
And the XPS 15, they've just bought out a convertible version. Mm. But we're going to start something like a hardware show now. But I think the problem with that one is that it's not fan cooled. So when it overheats, or when it gets up to a certain temperature, it will kind of dial down the CPU performance a little bit. Mm. So it does give you a bit of a performance hit.
Yeah.
So the HP is fan cooled, so it should stay nice and speedy. And yeah, the review, it got really good reviews. It comes with a stylus. You can get a slightly better spec'd version for slightly cheaper. So it's the new i7, well, the newest sort of i7 chip, 16 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte hard drive, 4K display, 15 inch. So yeah.
Cool. So when's that turning up?
That's in within 48 hours. So I might have to stay in for the next 48 hours. if I'm not at home when it comes, then I'm going to be flying towards my house like Thor's hammer to get to it. So, yeah, but that's me not going Apple this year. So is there anything that you've tried and rejected, kicked into touch?
I don't think it's probably not a particular sort of technology. But I've kind of decided I'm okay with just sticking with some of the tools that I'm happy with.
Okay.
Like mentioning just now, Grunt scripts. People are using Gulp and NPM and Webpack, but I've got some Grunt scripts that I'm quite happy with.
Mm.
And I've got some Grunt contrib sort of plugins that I'm happy with how they work, and I know how they work, and they're still working for me. So what I've sort of tried, I think I'm starting to reject the change for change's sake.
Yeah.
I know you need to keep up with things, but sometimes I need to just get the job done and get something built quite quickly and then move. Yeah. And another example of that is that I'm currently using MAMP, and I like the idea of using Vagrant type boxes and what's the thing that's...
Docker.
But I'm just not at the moment.
Yeah.
And I haven't got time to sit and... Currently, you know, things might change, but currently I've got a lot on. It's been a really... Yeah, that's been a good thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, work is... I'm solidly... Okay. Yeah, really lot of work on. And I haven't really got enough time to sit and work out how Docker works.
Yeah. Because I was the same, because I use WAMP.
Mm.
And... I do sometimes you do feel a bit of peer pressure to use tools.
Yeah.
And I was looking at Vagrant as well, I was looking at Grunt and Gulp, and I think I sort of did a bit of a Hello Worldy thing with those.
Hmm.
But I'm fine with what I've got, and it's doing the stuff that I need it to do.
Hmm.
Like you said, I think you've got to be willing to try new stuff out if you think it's actually going to be of some practical benefit to you.
I actually read an article the other day, seriously considered using Vi or Vim, because I took the mick out of someone so much,
right,
for spending a long time learning it and then being a full-on evangelist about it. And then I made some comment to my father-in-law,
mm-hmm,
about text editors. And he said, oh, well, I learnt Vim and never looked back. Because he was a sort of network admin and general for Gloucester hospitals, and he loves it. And I thought, this is interesting. Now I'm going to hear a non-biased sort of someone who's now retired. But I said, why is it good? And he told me why it's good. And then I read an article on it, and I saw, and then I thought, could I do this? Someone said that you, if you can go through a month of pain, probably an actual month of pain, you will love it after about 6 months. He said, after a month, you'll think, I'm about where I was with my other text editor. I can just about do what I did. And then he said, over the next few months, you'll get better and better and faster, and you'll start to really learn the whole regular expression way of kind of working, where you a search pattern selection.
That's interesting.
On the command line or within it. So the idea of clicking a mouse to select a class and type over it is gone, because you go to the line number, jump in so many characters, start selecting and end selecting. It just sounds, but it's a completely different way of working. I've heard from a few people how just really brilliant it is. And I thought, can I do this? Can I, at my age?
Well, that's the thing. I guess it's like, it's the month of pain. Like how many new things are there to learn? You know, you could easily learn 12 things a year. So, you could end up having a month. I know it doesn't exactly work like that, but you could end up giving yourself a lot of pain. So it depends on what you... I think, for me, I think it has to be based on a need. Am I using something? And then comparing my workflow to other people and thinking, is this putting me behind? Am I actually at a disadvantage when it comes to actually the stuff that I'm doing at the coalface?
Yeah.
If it isn't, then I'm fine to use the things that I'm using. But then if you're just interested in looking at other stuff, then that's fine. Because I think sometimes if you're a person that listens to podcasts or a person that kind of follows some of the people who are more well-known in the industry, it's part of their job to investigate new things. So that can be part of what drives a lot of us kind of workaday devs to think, oh man, we need to be doing this stuff because those guys are doing it. Whereas we just need to be able to build good sites as efficiently as possible, I guess. So, but I'm the same.
But if you're listening, Rob, Dreamweaver is not acceptable. Stop it. Just stop it, all right?
There is a line. Yeah.
It's not fair, is it? It's not true.
See, I wonder about that because we joke about it.
I give him hassle about it all the time. This is just a colleague I work with.
Because we joke about it, but then I wonder whether there is... I mean, I guess for some people, they learned with Dreamweaver. So if anybody's listening to this...
Yeah, I don't want to go on about it too much because actually it's not fair.
Yeah.
And it's fine, and he does good work.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're using it to learn, then go for it. And I guess if you're using it and you're making good websites, then go for it. But, you know, and we'll joke about it and things, but you don't have to listen to what we say. who are we? Yeah, but not worrying about keeping up.
That's sort of one thing I've rejected.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. Worrying about keeping up.
another thing that I've kind of rejected is AMP. Again, another thing that seems to be a thing that some of us feel like we have to do. I won't go on about it because we're going to talk about it in an upcoming episode. We've got an episode that we recorded last year, which we're going to release after this one.
Mm.
And we talked a bit more about AMP. So we'll go into the reasons why we're not into it, but no, not into it.
You're not doing it until you get a client who asks you to do it.
And then I'm not going to do it. Because it depends. I think the use case for it is pretty narrow. And it just smacks too much of the old days when you would build a site and then build a mobile site. You build like the baby version of the of the proper site. So it just doesn't seem like it's in keeping with the way that, you know, we do things, trying to be semantic and trying to make sure we're all following the same standard. If Google kind of like just plants its massive kind of boot in the soil and draws a line and says, this is how we're building websites now. Kind of not so keen on that kind of thing. So no to Google, but please let me keep using your email service and your doc service and stuff. And don't spam too much of my things, but a little bit, as long as I keep getting your stuff for free, that's fine. Probably. So I was going to mention some of the things that are coming in 2017 or that we've got to look forward to. But we've got a podcast episode coming up where we're going to be doing that. We're going to be talking about some things that are already here that are going to be becoming more important, like HTTPS and HTTP2, which we're already trying out, as we mentioned, and Grid as well, which is going to land on us hopefully properly some point this year, and a few other things as well. So we're going to be talking with somebody and doing a bit of a look ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things that I quite fancy trying this year that I haven't had a proper go at, like SVG. I've not really had much of a proper go at using that, particularly SVG for animation.
Mm.
Doing more animation as well, I'm looking forward to doing this year as well. Anything you're thinking about trying out? Or
I want to use SVG a lot more as well, and I want to use responsive SVGs quite a lot more, because using media queries for elements within SVGs is really just easy.
Yeah.
It's just I haven't been doing it. And when I've seen some of the examples, in fact, I'm working on a site today, which I'm later or tomorrow going to convert the mobile, the logo that they're using. I've got two different logos.
Yeah.
But actually, it could just be one logo with a part of it moving on a smaller screen. I could turn it into a responsive SVG perfectly, and I just don't know why I didn't think of that before.
I'd be interested to see that when it's done.
Yeah. It's just the text moves under an icon instead of to the right of it.
Right.
So that'd be just quite simple to do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think there's a lot. SVGs are very powerful. And I've been hearing a lot of people talk about them, but I've not really delved into it much myself. So
I've used, what else? I've used Laravel for one project this past year, and I'm still building it, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I want to do more in Laravel. And I don't know whether to, I don't think it's going to sort of dilute my WordPress work. I think it'll just add to it. There are times when I'd be more confident now to say, let's build this as a custom sort of standalone application in Laravel. It's just so good. The community is so good. The tuition available is so good. The documentation is brilliant. The tools for it are brilliant. It's a joy. I haven't had joy like that, building for something like that, for a long time.
Oh, excellent.
Because you're right, what you said earlier, I mean, WordPress can be irritating. You can just spend your time going through fixing one problem after another. And with going through with this Laravel build, I've gone through going, oh, I wonder what's going to do that. Oh, that's built in. Oh, what's going to do that? Oh, there's a module for that already. Oh, they've already thought of that. Authentication. Oh, OAuth 2. No problem. All handled. Mm. Message queuing for, email queuing. Oh, we're going to have a whole ton of emails with PDFs attached to them. They're actually going to be quite large. We're going to have to queue out. What am I going to do? Oh, it's fine. There's plenty of queuing functionality there. So I love it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. and people using Laravel are using Vue.js quite a lot. So I'd like to get into that.
That's the thing I was thinking about looking at as well, because I've been sort of having a bit of a peering over the hedge at React, sort of thinking about what frameworks to sort of use. So I was going to have a little look at that, but I was going to have a look at Vue as well, because I've not really done much with
those types of
frameworks. So we should do an episode on Laravel. That brings us on to talking about the podcast, because we're going to talk about some of the things that we want to talk about this year and some of the things we did last year. We had a good year last year.
Yeah, considering we recorded so few episodes.
Yeah.
We were pretty tardy with, we moved house, you did a lot of decorating.
There was bits of illnesses
and all sorts going on. It was just a slow year from a number of episodes point of view. But yeah, great listeners and a couple of very notable episodes. Did you want to mention a few?
The most popular episode we had last year was with, hang on, whilst I look it up on my phone. So the most popular episode we'd had last year was Working with Designers, Do You Etch-a-Sketch with Mikhail Morrison, which is still going strong, actually. Still having quite a lot of downloads for that. So that was our most popular one. And I think all our episodes towards the end of the year had a noticeable uptick in listeners. So we're kind of encouraged and kind of reminded to try and be a bit more regular with our releases. I mean, we're starting this year a little bit late because, we took a bit of time off, and plus we were ill. You were ill.
I was ill.
And we've got an episode that we recorded last year that we had intended to get out a little bit sooner, but sort of we just haven't been able to, so we're going to get that out quite soon. But we're going to try and be a bit more consistent. And we've got a lot of very interesting subjects to talk about this year. We've got some quite exciting guests who we are talking to at the moment. We can't say anything, but as soon as they're confirmed, we will let you know. But we've got quite a lot of subjects we want to talk about. I think Laravel will be quite interesting to talk about. We're going to talk about progressive enhancement. Goodness, we're going to talk a little bit about hopefully the kind of dogmatism that seems to be prevalent in a lot of the things that we talk about, and the fact that that often goes hand in hand with imposter syndrome. I find it interesting that we're in an industry which is kind of so riven with both things.
Yeah, and kind of swings between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you might get the same people sort of be very unsure about, you know, their opinion on something and then be absolutely convinced on other things. We just find that interesting. We're going to talk about that. Try and be a bit more consistent. And yeah, I'm petering out now, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's cold. We're in kind of, what would you describe this room as?
Well, we call this the hutch, but it's a wooden outbuilding. But this is the second time it's been used this year. I think Jem came down here last week. And it's it's like a big summer house.
It's a big summer house.
I mean, pretty big, isn't it, for a summer house? You could, how to explain?
Yeah, but it's, the clue is the name, it's a summer house. It's not a winter house. So it is cold.
Yes, it is really cold, actually.
We've got an oil-filled heater here, which is doing its best, but its best is not good enough.
No.
And it's freezing, so I don't know.
Basically, we're going to wrap up and get some fajitas.
Yeah. So we might wrap up there. So we don't really have a tool start, so I just wanted to mention a bit of news, which is probably old news by now, that Trello, which is probably our tool star of the year, because we mentioned it a couple of times, and the nice people at Trello sent us t-shirts, so we've drunk that Kool-Aid. And they've been bought by Atlassian. And if I got the T and the L around the right way?
Yeah, I think so.
I always get them.
I like them. I use Bitbucket all the time.
Me too. And I use SourceTree all the time. So hopefully that's going to be a good alliance. But we'll kind of keep an eye on it. And sort of if there's anything to report, we'll let you know, because we use them both. But that's not really our tool star. We're kind of veering into the tech news. That's the podcast category that we're actually in, isn't it? Are we in the tech news categories? I guess we need to actually do some tech news from time to time. I guess the Apple police or the iTunes police come and check on us.
Yeah, I can't remember. We might be just in technology. We might not dial down any further now.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, we got into the charts. We got quite high in the charts, didn't we, at one point last year? I think we got to number 50.
Yeah, that was with the designers episode again, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that was a highlight for us.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. But so with podcast things, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening last year. Thank you for persisting with our waffle. And
thanks for the reviews that were left.
Yeah. They do mean a lot to us, because they do help us to kind of get a bit more noticed by the iTunes kind of algorithms and things. So it means that more people get to see our little kind of avatar thing pop up, and more people get to listen to us, hopefully. So if you leave reviews, then they really are handy for us. And if you are a web developer who knows other web developers, then if you could mention our show to them, that would be helpful, because I think that's a way that we get listeners, is through word of mouth.
And if you want a sticker, come to WordCamp London.
Yeah.
I said it now. Now I'm going to actually have to get them printed.
You better warn. Have you warned WordCamp London's? Because the influx of people.
Can you imagine that? Why did you come to WordCamp London? Because I wanted a relative pass sticker. All right. No other reason? No.
There's going to be like at least 1.5 million people there.
I went to, I had some stickers made years ago, and I was really surprised. Oh, this is an aside I don't want to go into.
Really? Why not?
Just quite bored to tell the story.
Okay. We won't tell that story then. That would be in the Relative Paths DVD extras. If we get enough tweets in asking about that, then Ben will tell the story. We should use more cliffhangers on our episodes, really, shouldn't we? Okay, let's stop there and do a jukebox, shall we?
Yeah.
So this is our first jukebox of 2017. So hopefully we're going to start the year as we mean to go on. So Ben, do you want to go first? No pressure.
Yep. I'm going to pick one. I've recently got back into vinyl, just like everyone else, apparently.
Yes.
It's weird how so many people seem to have done it at the same time.
Apparently, I was listening on a podcast the other day. I think Drake has released a recent album solely on vinyl.
Okay.
Interesting.
What, is that the reason? Is that the reason it's taken off?
I don't know, but it's kind of part of a thing. People do seem to really be going back to it.
Yeah, they really have. I was trying to work out why I got into it and when it was. I think it's probably about three or four months ago. I just got the turntable set up again. And because that was set up, I started playing stuff and then thinking, oh, where did that go? Oh, I should get that one. And then looked around to see where record shops were and, you know, independent record stores and things. And it kind of just, but then started hearing in the news that vinyl sales have gone up and this and that. So something's happened. It's like a herd thing, but without realising it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, is it just nostalgia or is it kind of something more? Yeah. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with a bit of nostalgia, but.
Yeah, but what we've, this isn't a jukebox now. I'm going to have to cut most of this out, aren't I? Time-wise.
Maybe. We'll see.
Mm. Jem and I'm a bit fed up with watching TV.
Yeah.
And just sitting and watching. We found ourselves looking through Netflix and Amazon Prime, just for something to watch.
Mm.
I mean, that's not a new thing. But at that point, you think, oh, what? There's other things to do. So a few times we both like a whiskey. We both like, you know, so we sometimes just put a record on, get a whiskey and play some cards. Or someone was playing cribbage and we didn't know how to play it, so we looked up and learned how to play cribbage. And it's just, I really quite enjoy spending part of an evening and having to every sort of 20 minutes or so get up and flip the side of the record.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like interactive listening. And I find I'll put a record on and I'll sit on the floor in front of my speakers, listen. At lunchtime today, I had some food, went upstairs with a cup of tea, I put on a record. I listened to it. I then went back to work.
Mm.
And it felt much better than sitting watching something on another episode of something on Netflix.
Yeah.
So it could just be a temporary thing. But at the moment, it feels like, wait a minute. This is like a new way of relaxing again. Or another, remembering what it used to be like to just sit and listen to music for music's sake.
Yeah.
Because Spotify does just play on and rotate and automatically shuffle usually. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Spotify. It's great. But you're not curating your own choice of playlist, are you, on Spotify? You're just often putting something on and then letting what comes on next just comes on next.
Hmm. That's interesting. Because I guess, I mean, I'll backtrack on accusing you of nostalgia, because I think there are a lot of young people who are getting into vinyl as well. And I think, something you just said about going and turning the record over, I think if the equipment is nice to use, there's something about that, isn't there? I remember one of the first record player I had. It was one of those like self-contained ones. I can't remember what it was called. Is it a dance set?
Mm.
Where you would load up all the 45s.
Oh, on the top.
And then as the record would play, they would drop down and then it would play the next one. And I always used to really like it when the record finished and it would drop down or like stacking them all up. There's something quite pleasing in just doing that. And I think, it's probably more than nostalgia. It's just sort of just... The activity of it is nice, but playing cribbage and cards, you guys are adorable. Anyway, do you want to do your jukebox?
Oh yeah, sorry. So my jukebox is because I found it again because I looked at all my records. I found Future Sound of London's Papua New Guinea, and it was, I think, the first 12-inch single I bought, and I think I bought it from Hard to Find Records, which was in the back of, they used to be in the back of Melody Maker and Mix Mag. And I got Mix Mag and Generator Mag, and Generator was like a rave. Didn't run for that long.
I didn't know anything about it.
It was for sort of rave and UK hardcore music. And Hard to Find Records was the place to go because, you know, we didn't go to eBay because there wasn't eBay. and I was pleased to see that they had this release on Spotify. With the same cover and everything. It was because sometimes on Spotify, you know, they've got a great catalogue, but sometimes you'll get an album version of something. So this is the original 12-inch version of Papua New Guinea.
I remember getting that on cassette.
Ah.
And I think it was one of those ones where, like, a cassette single.
Right.
And I remember playing it and playing it and playing it. It doesn't
black
have...
And, black and silver cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't have quite the same romance as vinyl.
Oh, I don't know.
Not quite. There's something kind of nice about... I really... You know, just the sound of putting the cassette in and the little clink and the click and things is kind of nice. I miss that.
Mm.
Anyway, as this episode is kind of... is dragging on, I'll try not to be too long. And mine is Jed's Other Poem by Grandaddy. I didn't know that Grandaddy had got back together because one of my very favourite bands, I can't remember the name of the lead singer, but I love his voice. There's something really quite soulful but kind of melancholy and kind of beautiful about his voice.
Yeah.
And Jed's Other Poem is kind of like a sung poem and it's just great. And I'm putting it in because Grandaddy have got back together and I'm happy. I was actually walking down the street. I'd just been to the supermarket and I think I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about Grandaddy getting back together. And I think I let out an audible.
Yes.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
And as you know, people are listening to podcasts or whatnot when you see somebody with earphones on. But anyway, I still managed to surprise somebody who was walking nearby. I was like, what? Put into my ears.
Yeah.
They ran terrified.
Sorry. Inner voices.
Yeah. But anyway, so here's a bit of Jed's Other Poem by Grant.
Okay.
So that's the show. Thanks for listening. That's our look back on 2016. This will be up on our website, redriffpowers.uk, along with a comment thread. So if you want to leave us an opinion or comment, then go ahead. We're also Redriff Powers on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Google+. And I've already asked for reviews, so I won't ask you for reviews again. Leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in your ears in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, bye. Thank you.